Realities in Alan Steinfeld. And I'm very happy to be here in Australia with a good friend, Paul Lowe. Hi, Paul.
Hi, everybody.
And Paul has sort of, I guess, retired from doing whatever he was doing, which was traveling the world. But you have a lot of things still coming to you. And in this trip here, we've been talking about this other thing that can't be described, that I think you're almost touching somehow.
Right. Alan has a vast experience, not only for himself, but he's interviewed thousands of people. In fact, I think most of the most interesting people on the planet. And in this, he has expanded and developed himself. In fact, often when he's interviewing, he knows more about the subject than the person who he's interviewing. He's really good. And he's sincere and he's genuine. And so something has happened to him. And what's happened is he started off on one level, but what he's attempting to share, and that's his life, first of all getting it and then sharing it, what he's attempting to share now can't be shared with words. There are no words for it. But he senses it, he knows about it, and that's what he wants me to talk about today. And of course you can't talk about something that can't be talked about, but we'll try. Stages have happened to me through my life. I was born inquisitive, and things have happened, and they've taken me to a certain level, and I thought, this is it, especially in my youth, this is it. And then suddenly, a little click happens, and I see that that wasn't it, that there's something else. So I let that go and played with the something else. And it's gone, and it's gone, and it's gone like that, until it's come to the point now where I let go of what, wherever I was and whatever I was doing, and I sense something else, but I don't know what it is. Whenever I don't know things, I say, well, who might know? And then I look at contemporary people, but I usually go back to the ancients, and I end up with Lao Tzu. And Lao Tzu is quoted as saying, the truth cannot be said, and if it's said, it's not the truth. I agree with that. It can't be said. So let's talk about that a little bit. It can't be said, because saying, using words, and words are finite, and not only finite, but they're old. It's conditioning that we've been given that says things are like this. And anybody who has any intelligence at all will be seeing that at one time we said the world was flat, absolutely, and you got burnt at the stake if you argued. And then we found it was round and the center of the universe, and so on, and so on, and so on. And we seem to think that things have stopped, but they haven't. Science, leading scientists are saying, I don't know. I don't know anybody that says they know what is consciousness. The major thing that we live with all the time. And of course there are these different theories, but we're having breakthroughs now. We're having scientists, leading edge scientists, who are having near death experiences and going somewhere else and having a totally different experience, coming back and saying, this isn't all there is. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it definitely, because I don't know. If I'm not trying to describe it, even to myself, there seems to be a knowingness. There seems to be a something that's beyond what we've been told. Now, science is also saying that there's no colour out there. There is a something, a frequency, a vibration, and our brain translates it into colour. it says the same about sound, and thus words. And so it's our programmed brain that is interpreting what it thinks it's seeing out there. Now, some leading edge scientists are saying maybe, as they said in the East, there isn't anything out there. Maya, illusion. Maybe we're making up the whole thing. We're making it up. And that's where I'm hovering with at the moment. If I'm not trying to describe it, even to myself, let alone to you, there's this sense of something, a something, which, just to identify it, I'm calling something else, the something else, something else. And then often, when I'm sitting just quietly and gently, looking out at the trees start to shimmer. Could be an optical illusion, could be. They start to shimmer, and then they go transparent. It's as though the color goes, the shape becomes less defined, and then they start to disappear. Now, what's happening for me at the moment, when they start to disappear, my mind kicks in and says, look, it's happening. I'm back. The mind came back. And it's daring to go beyond. Jesus called it dying to be reborn. Now, you see, when I say dying, we've got a whole program about what is dying. And it might not be what we think. And be reborn. Again, we've got an idea about being reborn. And maybe it's not what we think. You see, we're already reborn. In the East, again, because that's where I go back to, because that's where we seem to have got the depth of wisdom. Thou art that. So what is that? Well, it's something that can't be described. I had a friend who had a near-death experience, John Wren Lewis, and he had a near-death experience that I consider is beyond where most people go. So you probably know seeing your body, going through a tunnel of light, going to relatives and so on. But he went straight through to what he called the brilliant darkness. Now, that's what I identify with, except I don't call it the brilliant darkness. To me, it's the unformed. It is everything. And that includes you and I. More than ever now, since these shifts have been happening, I really don't see us as separate. I see behavior as separate. In fact, I'm quite amused now. I'm amazed at behavior. It's so weird, it's so strange, because the person isn't there doing it. Because they're not there, the automatic pilot takes over. That's its job. That's the job of the brain. I have to take care of you because you're not here taking care of yourself. And every now and again, somebody has what's called a satori. When Jesus was asked, what's it like in heaven? He said to reply, there is time no more. But it isn't just time. There isn't anything identifiable. Now, when I say identifiable, that's because, as I see, the brain only works in opposites. It's either this or that. And it doesn't know how to be with both in this moment. No good, no bad, no benefit, no wrong, no you. No me, just isness. Now, more and more people are having at least glimpses of this. I knew somebody who was there for 6 months recently, but people do have 3-week experiences of this. In the Satori group, often, at least moments of an indescribable state. You can't describe it. So when Alan asked me to talk about the thing that can't be described, of course, I can't describe it. Lao Tzu, the truth cannot be said. If it's said, it's not the truth. But you can hear it. I'm saying that definitely. You can hear it because thou art that. It's just how many layers in from your behavior. And as I see it, at the moment anyway, it's behavior, it's being automatic that's keeping us from the undescribable.
So you can hear it between the words almost. And it's also what you're saying, it's not this, not this, not this. And the other thing I want to say is when you say your mind cuts in when the trees start to dissolve, is that an automatic part of you that's still functioning in the human realm?
I would imagine that it's part of the basic primitive survival system that says you're about to die and you're not allowed to do that according to the survival system. So it snaps back. And then it's, I think I do go beyond, because I come back sometimes and a lot of time's gone by, but I don't remember anything. But I have met people who remember being on the other side. They live in both sides. And I've always found that fascinating, and I thought, yeah, I'd like that. I'd like to be able to live on both sides. But what the psychics have told me, personally, is you can't do that, because if you got too connected with the other side, you wouldn't be able to get back into the vibration of the body. I don't know that, but it does connect. It does sound. Now, listen. We all have it, this state, and there's nothing you can do about getting it, because you've already got it. You can't do anything. What I've come to see is what we can do is see what's in the way. Now, reading books, yes. Going to people who seem to be in that state, yes. Even if they don't live in that state, often when they get on stage, they go into that state. Often psychics are not happy with their lives, and yet, when they go in the state, they are bringing through that information to you from that stateless state. So you have it. Books, be around. But if you can, be around people who are in that state. Now, there are some people who can wave their hand and suddenly you have an experience of something beyond what you normally experience. So let me say again, you see, it's not contained in the words. So if you're trying to understand what's being said, you'll stay in a primitive level of your mind. If you're agreeing or disagreeing, again, that's your mind. It's just sitting and listening as though you're listening to the wind and the trees. You're just listening. And again, if you don't, understanding, you've got to contract. It's not about contraction. It's about expansion.
Would you say we are born in that state? And if we are born in that state, what was this whole journey about?
I don't know. I have ideas. I think some of us are born in that state and some of us aren't. I think depending upon our, I don't know, past lives, karma, depending on if we have had past lives, if we had karma, we bring things through with that. But I would say we're definitely more innocent, and especially with the new babies. I reckon the new babies are still in touch. There's a local town here of what is called working class people, ordinary people. They go to the pubs a lot, they drink a lot, and of course I'm generalizing, but the town feels like that. And yet these new babies are present. As they're walking past, I look into their eyes, because I always get an uplifted feeling when I see them. And they look straight back at me. But not only that, they keep following me. They go bend their heads to follow the eyes. It's as though we connect. There's an innocence there. There's less in the way. Now, that's what I want to reiterate once again. We don't have to learn anything because it's already there. We have to keep recognizing that what's in the way. And what's in the way is what we've been told is and isn't. And let me remind again, we were told the world was flat. And now, almost weekly, you go to the new science and it says, now this new discovery cancels everything we thought we knew about. We need to keep disconnecting from what we think we know and sense and listen and feel. So being around people that are in that state, as empty as you know how to be, breathe them in. And you may start to get with that, in touch with that place in yourself. Now, I can't tell you anything for sure. As Lao Tzu says again, everyone seems so certain, and I walk as though upon thin ice. I don't really know anything, but I sense something. And what I sense is, we're all that, we're all one, we're not separate. And at a certain stage, what seems to happen is, there's a recognition of people's behavior. So we don't take it seriously anymore. Whether they say they hate you or they love you, you don't take it seriously when they just say it. But when it comes from the heart, when it comes from a deeper place, you feel it, you sense it, you're uplifted by it. So what happens after a certain level of awakening, we'll call it. It seems to be we no longer take people's automatic behavior seriously. And we start to see, first of all, who they're hiding, trying to avoid. Then who they could be. And then who they are. And it's always love. It's always delightful when reaching that place. And it seems a little strange and slightly sad that they don't know who they are. And if you're not in this state, you don't know who you are. You don't know just how incredible you are. And I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to all the others. I'm talking to you. Every single one of us are that.
I appreciate what you're saying, but it's taken you a whole lifetime to get that. Other people don't know their love, but they think they're something. And that's the automatic part, but how did, with that, so you've devoted your life to this, and now here you are 82 years later, coming to that conclusion, or maybe you've had it, but so many people, in a sense, need that journey of development to find...
Right. You asked earlier, mm-hmm. What do you think we're doing here? Now, I don't know, but this is as far as I've got so far. And remember, it is, as Alan has said, I have devoted my whole life from as far back as I can remember. I can remember being 2 years old. And I've devoted my life is, what is it all about? What's going on here? This is a very strange place. People say one thing and act exactly the opposite. My preacher did that. He would be up there talking about love and caring and looking after each other, come down, meet us afterwards and shout at us in a rage because we fidgeted during the sermon. What's it all about? My theory is this. We're here to experience every single thing there is to experience. And the way I look at it is, just as a framework, is I've come from another planet, and so have you. But it might not be a planet, but we'll say a planet. We've come here to experience everything it's possible to experience in the physical. Now, people I've met, and I say that lightly, I've met who are not from this planet, they're walk-ins, say, when we're not in a body, we have absolutely no idea what it's like to be in a body. And for most people who have decided to come here and come in, it's a tremendous shock. Because when you're not in a body, you have no idea what is the physical. That's why channelers, people who channel, beautiful people like Bashar and channel, beautiful. Bashar, even though he's with this incredible wisdom, he doesn't know what it's like to be us. This is unique. And the extraterrestrial I met, who was a walk-in, who'd taken over a human body with permission, was saying, we have no idea. I had no idea. When I entered this body, I didn't know how to move it. I didn't know about pain and discomfort. I didn't know about mental torment. I didn't know any of these things. And I had to work to clear my cellular memory, to be clear enough. So we are in, you know, we're in an incredible dimension. It is so beautiful here. Mm. It's wonderful here. And we have all these sensations. There is theory about ETs that they're just curious because they don't have what we have. You see, one theory is that advanced beings don't have individual personal experience. It's one. And we almost only have individual experience. Very few people realize that we're one. And so one thing we could be here for is to realize that there is a separateness as well as a oneness, to complete something. And what I've looked at is having every possible experience there is to have here. Everyone. I haven't killed anybody. I've nearly been killed several times, getting very close to the edge.
But you know, I wouldn't say it's about necessarily experience, it's about the feeling. We're here to have every human feeling. Those experiences generate a feeling that we're here to have. And when we have it, you don't have to kill someone to know what it might be.
That's right, but I feel that you need to have a certain amount of experience before you can start to empathize. You need a certain amount of experiences. Mm. And that's why I say, you know, over and over and over, is, and this beautiful man Eckhart says, Eckhart Tolle says, there is only now. You see, as I'm talking to you, you might be thinking, oh yes, in the future, or I've got to do this, but now, there's only now. And I feel that now is giving us exactly what we need. We've created now. It's given us what we need. So what I say is, look for the depth in every single moment. What's it bringing to you? Now, it may not be comfortable, you may not want it on some level, but don't dismiss it, don't escape it. Be with what's happening. And for me, that's the clue when Alan says how. For me, the how is experience what you're doing, actually experience it. Don't put a cup down automatically. Put the cup. Feel the cup, hear the cup, feel yourself letting go. Do what you're doing. And then, if you're going to say something, listen, say what you're saying. Say it every single syllable. Alan said just now, the space between the words. There's eternity between the words. When you're here, you're just waiting for the next. You don't say the word. It comes through, and you give it sound. And you and the throughness are one. Say what you're saying. Don't use cliches. Don't say, like, you know. Don't do it. You're a robot. You're in-fashion robot. Don't do that. Say what you're saying and feel what you're feeling. And one more thing, and this is the major one. Be aware of your thoughts, because every single thought has a frequency. And that frequency goes both ways. Have a negative thought, and your energy comes down. You're damaging yourself physically, but also you're contributing to the negativity on the planet. You can't stop negative thoughts. We were brought up with negativity. Don't do that. What you can do is recognize it. Negative thought. Don't support it. Don't fix it. Don't change it. Just let it be. And you'll go into this space, the space in between.
So, thank you for that. I get it. The more you say it, the more I get it, because it's a reminder of what we all are. And so you say you've had, and I believe you, and many people have had almost every experience and what I call feeling it is to be human. And what I think is happening now is we're going to another level that's been uncharted in the human experience. There's a sense feeling that we started at the beginning that's beyond words, that can be eventually language somehow, but we're exploring something, a new experience.
And would you say that would be new to Lao Tzu's experience as well? Do you think it's beyond Lao Tzu's experience?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think the human is doing something. Lao Tzu
brand new.
Was a great level, and many people, of course, aren't, most people aren't there, and something else seems to be happening, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, of course, there's these stories about the masters of the Himalayas, Babaji, who can manifest a body and so be here physically, whatever body he wants, and then dissolve it, which might be what is the story of Jesus ascending, that the all these little people that make us up, all these little molecules and little cells and DNAs and all cooperating, individual in themselves, cooperating to make a liver or a heart, and then cooperating to make us, that they all go back to their natural frequency and dissolve back into the oneness again. So there are these stories that people can do that in the Himalayas, and that seems definitely a possibility to me. I'd like to be able to do that, because you could teleport that way and it would save on airfare and things if you wanted to travel, which I don't anymore. So we're coming back to this, let's call it a possibility, that there is more to you than you realize. Not only more, but it's infinite. Here's one little thing that gets my mind up in a knot. Scientists are now saying, I mean, reputable scientists are saying, there are more stars in our galaxy, not the universe, our galaxy. There are more stars in our galaxy than there are grains of sand on every single beach in the world. See? And there are more galaxies than every single grain of sand on our beaches. Mind-blowing, isn't it? Infinite. And of course, the mind cannot comprehend infinity. The mind has to have a beginning and an end. And what's been said by Jesus and many wise people, there is no beginning, there is no end. The Big Bang wasn't the beginning. We're not going to... infinite.
But if you were going to just play and put a language to this new experience, this thing that we all seem to be, or some of us seem to be moving into a new experience, if you...
Okay, you say some of us. Now, I've had readings, talks and chats with many wise people all around the world, American Indians, Australian, Aboriginal people in South America, and they've all got one particular theme, and that is something's coming. West Side Story. Something's coming, something's good. Something's coming. And what they're saying is, and it varies, but what I see quite strong thing is, one third of us will move into another experience, another dimension, another planet, and two thirds will not. And the two thirds will not, it's not a judgment, it's not against them, but they haven't yet got the possibility, they haven't woken up to something, so they need things to be more difficult so they can see it more clearly. That's one theory that's going on, that there is something coming. But not only coming, most of these people say, it's happening. We're in the process of it now. Things are shifting. And also a prophecy was, by many of these wise people, was that, yes, that things are going to get worse because what we've suppressed is going to manifest itself on the outside. Physically. And if you look at the news, I don't think it's just because our news is more efficient now. More people are doing totally irrational things. People stabbing their ex 30 times. And of course, a lot of that must be to do with drugs as well, including, according to a lot of theories, the antidepressants are causing people to lose it. So on one level, things are getting worse. On another level, can't you feel it? Something is happening. Another theory. I've spoken all about this before, but this is quite a strong theory. You see, my theory is, when we're negative, existence says, oh, you want to be negative? Good, we'll give you lots of things to be negative about. We'll give you all sorts of things. You want to complain? Oh, there's so many things you can complain about. And I'll put them in your life, all over the place, everywhere you go. And you'll meet complaining people and you'll have complaining groups. And if you start to see your complaint and say, I'm not going to support that, you'll find complaint is a contraction. And as you see it, it stops. And then you start to look and say, about what do I have in my life to be appreciating? And suddenly, an expansion. And you start to say, oh, this and that and yes and this. And existence says, great! You want to start being grateful. I should go to give you lots of things to be grateful about. All sorts of things are going to come. Sometimes you'll just think about it and they'll come. Oh, I want to get in touch with so-and-so. Ring, ring, there they are. Or it's not magic. It is what is. It does seem to be. That's the way things work. We really do create our own reality. It's a terrifying thought, isn't it? Every one of those single thoughts start to create something. If you really get that, you start to devote your life to presence and catching what's going on. And you no longer support anything that isn't beautiful, loving, caring. And your life will change. I've seen it over and over and over. Listen, in the groups, this happened many times. Somebody would have a breakthrough in the group, and suddenly all their resentment about their mother dissipated and they started to feel grateful. They'd get back home, the phone would ring, the mother was there and saying, I've just realized that. What came was the cliche, it takes two to tango. If you hate somebody, it takes somebody to bring the hate back. Go on loving somebody. It melts on both sides. We really are responsible.
I get that, and I am grateful, and I am overwhelmed by the beauty of this world. Mia.
And the people. My mother went out at 101 years old, and she was there. She was love. She had nothing against anybody. Whenever she watched the television, it doesn't matter whether it was the so-called victim or the aggressor, she felt the same for both of them. In fact, a little bit more for the aggressive person. With them, for them.
So a couple of things, because you're still, not still, because your gift, I would say, is to work with people on this level, because you have all that, and people get that. And if we go back to this new thing, we can just play without the words or find the words, because someone gave us a reading that said we'll come up with some original thing. And if we could, so we have the human realm, and you've, in a sense, got it. Because then you can look at people and, of course, help them. Mm. And you're still here to look beyond that into the unformed. And first, what does human experience that is, in a sense, limited have to do with the unformed, and how can we start to language or perceive, when this tree starts to dissolve, that's really happening, and the human mind needs to transform itself, not needs, but is transforming itself into the dissolving. And so I'm just saying, let's play with this thing.
Okay, you said several things. One thing is several psychics have told me that something is coming that will be totally new, and they can't see what it is. When psychics read, they read to a certain level, and then they say, there's something beyond that. It's not death. It's something else, and I don't know what it is. And my translation of that, it is beyond our human experience. It's something that hasn't been in this dimension before. I don't know what it is. And then you said something about sharing. And I really feel my sharing on this level is over. This is really hard work on one level.
Well, you don't have to do it on this. That's why I want to bring...
No. And people have said it'll be in silence. And I won't be traveling, which I'm very happy about, but people will come here. Now, I don't know anything about it. Of course, people are here. But you see, I don't know what that means. I don't know what this new thing is, except love, which isn't new. But that's the theme at the moment, is just love. But not the love as we know it, not love that has an opposite and has a you and a me, again, as we get from the East, when the seer and seen are one. It's a love that is. It just is. And then you said, can I define? All I've come to is the something else that's...
But if we're just playing with the something else, and we could imagine what it could be, not to push it, but to... I think it's about somehow a way of thinking and being that cognizes reality totally different than what we know.
You see, now this is Alan. Alan's really good at what he does to a certain level, but then he's trying to define it, and he can't be defined. Mm. Often in his interviews, he brings things out of people they didn't even know was there. He's really good at that. And his mind all the time is trying to define, and it might be that our defining is stopping us going there. Just that automatic thing that says, I want to know what it is, so that... Now, Alan, how come we want to know what it is? Mm. And it's because the moment is not fulfilling. You see, when the moment is fulfilling, there isn't anything else. And there can be a floating curiosity that if there is something else, I'm available. But in a way, listen, wanting something else is a complaint. And a complaint is going to bring you that frequency. Saying, oh, I mean, just look at this moment. Just look at wherever you are. This moment, wherever you are, whatever's going on. And when you're with that and fulfilled in that, I think whatever is appropriate will unfold. Mm. That's my theory. But I don't know. And I don't need to know.
No, no, you don't need to know. And I don't want to push you into knowing because...
Yes, you do.
I don't want to push you, but I want to know. That's it. And so...
Let's say you want to draw it out.
I want to discover it for myself, okay?
Ah.
But because I know there is something else, and of course I need to be here more... And you're right.
A lot more. Yeah.
A lot more. And you're right. Something, I'm not, if I was really here, that would fill everything.
Here's something else. You see, Alan is unique. He's an amazing being. And he has all this experience and knowledge of all these wonderful people he's been with. He's unique. Hmm. And very gently, because I don't do this very much, I talked to him a little bit about his behavior. But only gently, because I don't know. Maybe he needs to be where he is so that he can talk to certain people, because I can't talk to them anymore. I just can't understand people's behavior, why people keep doing things that keeps bringing them misery. I don't get it. I'm not in touch with that level anymore. Mm. But Alan is, you see, and I think... All of it, and I mean you. You are an authority on something for somebody. I mean, just the fact that you're watching this means you've moved. Mm. You have something to share with people. And I think that's what it's about. We need to share. And you can't share with anybody whose frequency is a lot less than yours. And you can't recognize anybody whose frequency is a lot finer than yours. But we all have something to share with each other. So I say things gently because I don't know whether people are supposed to be there or not. My feeling is Alan is a great gateway, a great doorway. And his questioning and the way he talks and so on opens things up for not only the listener, but the person that's talking as well.
So if we're going to be here, now let's be here.
Nowhere else to be.
There's something that comes through you when you speak that is beyond you. We've been talking about that this week, and it's not about Paul, but it's beyond. Are you in touch with anything like that?
Well, when the identity to the self is released, and no longer trying to be right and avoiding wrong and getting what you want and avoiding what you don't want. When you're ready to just be without any of that, there's a buzzing in the body, a tingling, a frequency. It tingles. And when it tingles and you recognize it, and you're just here, and you're not trying to do anything. This tingle fills the body out to the skin. And when it does, you realize the same tingle is outside of the skin as well. Everything is tingling. Everything. And at that level, we're all the same tingle. At that level, there are no levels. It's just the tingling.
Is there anything you would have done different? Any regrets, any disappointments, anything that looking back you think, oh, or doesn't matter?
At the time, I think there were times I said, oh, it would have been better if I had. But from here, looking back, everything was perfect, perfect. And if I hadn't have done that, that wouldn't have been, perfect. And so what's that brought me to? The peace that passeth all understanding is that it's always perfect. It can't not be perfect. And neither can you. Perfect. That's the way it is. And if we're trying to be something else, we're missing who we are and what is and what we need to be and what we need to experience. Just being with what is, and that includes you. And when I say it includes you, here's a little technical thing. You see, when I say including accepting who you are, you think you've got to accept who you are, and then you try and do it. And what I'm saying is, if you accept who you are, you'll feel better. But if you try to accept who you are, you'll feel worse. If you're trying to accept who you are and you can't do it, come back one and accept that you can't do it. Keep saying yes to what is. Just the way it is.
One more thing. There was a moment, and in the groups you would say, you know, you searched your whole life, you went to gurus, you went to, you know, psychology, you did all that, and there was a moment when you stopped looking and something clicked. Do you remember that moment where something clicked for you beyond the searching and you just...
No, I don't have a memory. I can't connect with it. What I do vaguely feel, there's been many of those. There's been, oh, that's right. And then there's been another level of realization, another level of awakening. Ah. And then, after that happened a few times, it was, oh, maybe this isn't it. It is it for now. And to be open for something else. And so often I see people struggling with the same thing over and over and over, with a relationship that's not working, with a job that doesn't bring fulfillment, living in a place they're not happy with. And I'm not saying move. I'm saying be more present with what is. And then you'll see something goes click inside and says, hey, time to move. And it isn't that you stop doing something. You stop holding what you're doing. You stop being identified. You stop being doing. You just stop doing, and movement happens on its own. And often it's disruptive, because often when you reach, Gurdjieff used to talk about that, you do incremental changes and you get to a certain point and you're stuck there and it takes a little and you pop into another level.
And that happened to you a few...
Over and over and over and over.
But when you first started on your journey, you said you lived in a very repressive, you know, English upbringing, and you just wanted to experience the world. So I think you said you even danced in a strip club or something, because you...
went on stage once, yes.
Yeah, because you felt that you wanted...
Gosh, what a memory you have. That's right. That was in Copenhagen.
Yeah, because you wanted to get over the repressed sexual...
And being embarrassed about having an erection in public. Yeah.
And you did.
I did. Yeah.
And something clicked like that. It's like,
yeah, now sex is just silly, really. There you go, Alan.
I think it's, for me, it's still fun.
Yeah, fun. If you see it as fun, but not meaningful, not tantra. Not the tantra doesn't have something, but not the tantra we do. You see, we'll diverse. Way back in China, northern China, they practiced tantra, but it's not tantra like we practice. As far as I read, it goes like this. First of all, you went to a tantric master. There are many different tantric masters, and only one of them are really to do with sex. You went to the tantric master and said, I want to study with you. And he decided if you were ready. Very rarely were you ready. He'd send you away for 2 years. Then you'd come and he'd say, good. Then you'd do meditations and this and that and the other. And then he would pick you a partner. And you'd sit in front of the partner for ages and ages and ages, until you started to recognize the partner as divine. And then you would start to see, let's say, God in your partner. And then you were allowed to touch. You were touching the divine. You were touching God. And then caress. And then have intercourse with God. Which, of course, you always are, because you're God. But you don't realize it. So, there's more to everything. Everything. And the only way you'll find out is to be here. Make this your priority and listen to that voice that says, time to move on. If you're in a relationship where you're arguing and fighting, don't move on. Because if you're arguing and fighting, your partner is showing you what you have not yet resolved in yourself. So wait and be more aware and be more present. And then one day, either something beautiful will happen with you both, or you'll see, I don't need to be here anymore. But this comes back to the same thing, you see. In each moment, we're all getting exactly what we need.
The sex, the tantra, all that, it's about an experience as well. And that's a valuable experience. And any of those things we're present in, it doesn't matter if it's sex or disco.
You see, we go through things. Yeah. At one time, we were totally oblivious to ourselves, except for a few philosophers. And then we started to... The big breakthrough was in California, in...
Esalen.
In Esalen, and the movement that was there. Suddenly, we were having experiential groups. We were having encounter groups. We were having things that we never talk about, we suppress, brought out. And encounter groups were a great thing. And... for most people, we did that for you. You don't have to do it anymore. We did it. We had the experience. We contributed it to the collective consciousness. We don't need to do it anymore. And keep looking. Most things we don't need to do anymore. We've had it done for us.
Right. You don't need to do the drugs and all that. And when we talked about Lao Tzu a little bit, you said and agreed that there was this other thing coming, as if there's a wave through consciousness that's it's beyond the personal, and it's a movement, and that goes back to the indescribable again. And is there anything you not want to say about, but get about that wave of new
something's coming, something's good. Maybe tonight something's coming, I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. The air is humming, and something great is coming. Come on, deliver to me.
Paul Lowe, ladies and gentlemen, still has his voice here.
Wait, it went off key there.
No, it's okay. I didn't notice that. But you have a beautiful place, and I think you're still working. Not that you want to. You're still...
something's going on. Yeah. But the old is dropping away. Like it used to be, I'd wake up with something to share. And if I didn't share it, it would haunt me all day. Now I wake up with some things, look at it, and it fades away, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And then every now and again... and Alan Steinfeld comes and won't leave me alone until I do an interview.
No. No, it's okay. I mean, it did come 35,000 miles or whatever. Not to do the interview, but just to be in this beautiful part of the world. So, thank you, Paul. But you do have a lot more, not to say, but to... I get this huge stream coming through you. If you,
So let's see. Maybe something else will come up. But right. That, I think that's covered quite a few things, hasn't it? And it's nice you have such a good outlet that so many of us can share together.
YouTube. I have 10 million views on YouTube.
10 million?
Well, 900 videos and 10 million.
Gosh, you're a celebrity.
Yeah, I'm a YouTube celebrity. Somebody said, great. Oh, I'm so happy.
Well, it's good because it's all good stuff. Yeah. It's all good stuff.
I say it's news that stays news. You know?
Yeah. And mention that one about the two
girls,
the two women.
Yeah. I did this great interview with these women who knew nothing. It's called Kundalini Awakening with Ali and Val. And nothing about anything.
Party girls.
Spiritual. And then suddenly they say, this awareness happened to them. They did no meditation. They did nothing like that.
They didn't even know about that stuff.
And boom. So what does that tell you about the state of possible consciousness?
I think many of us have come here in different levels. And some have come to share at a certain level. Some have come to be there to wake those people up to start sharing. And then other people have come to wake those up, though. So I think there are these different levels. There's a team. It feels like there's a team come here. And we're all, even although we don't know each other, we're all working in unison, in a way, to be here with this accelerated frequency that's happening here.
Yeah, I think the acceleration is what's popping these people open, because... Yeah. What they have, I think, is another level of their brain or mind or consciousness. And it's like boiling water. First a bubble here, and then it's suddenly... Yeah.
And we've had people in the group say, I don't know how I came here, I don't know what I came for, and you've told me, you've just described exactly what's happened to me, and I thought something had gone wrong. Mm. But actually, now I see that I've awakened to another level. And I was seeking medical help.
Mm, yeah.
So, and these two women, oh, just because they come from such an ordinary place, and they're still bubbly and fun, is showing people, please don't be serious when you wake up. No, don't.
But it does show that it could be a society that lives on that level. These girls could do it, and then other people. I think it's a positive sign that...
Well, people have dreams, and I've had certain senses of this as well, people have told me. They remember living in a community that is totally different from here, where everybody was in harmony. And if somebody got into trouble in some way with themselves, some difficulty, everyone that was there for them, it was all love and caring and no judgment and no againstness and certainly no punishment. And they remember living in that state. And I think it's possible many of us did live in that state. And we remember it somewhere. Yeah. And so we're told it's going to happen here too.
Well, it's happening. These women, you know, what you're talking, Eckhart, we're seeing pockets of something else.
And everybody has a different level of it to share or a different facet of it to share.
Mm. And you still have a lot of energy moving through that body of yours to share. I mean, it's like you're being infused, I get, just in this conversation with something. Not that you have to share, but there's something coming through, it's almost like right through your crown and out, to share. That's what I get.
It doesn't feel natural anymore.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it feels as though something is slightly being done.
Okay, we don't have to
It feels as though it's fading out.
Okay.
And then, again, this thing, well, my whole life has been about experiencing, sharing the experience, experiencing, share the experience. And now, experiencing and not sharing the experience, well, not in the old way anyway.
Well, that's a new experience, not sharing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe, that's what's supposed
to happen. Or not sharing in any way that is recognizable in the old way.
Maybe when you stop sharing, this Paul Lowe thing can really dissolve.
I just had a flash. You see, these trees are sharing.
Mm.
They're sharing. When Sabine and I walk in the forest, we become so spaced out we can hardly stand up. Everything, all the joints go like rubber. And at first we thought, oh, it's maybe we ate something or something. But no, every time we do it now, and it's everything is sharing. They're all sharing in their way. And when we are in the moment, we are one with that energy. And we're probably
sharing with them.
With them too, yeah.
And maybe that's the next level of this.
Mm.
Like you said, and I agree, there probably are people in the Himalayas that have been there for hundreds.
Just sitting, just being, just
and,
being.
And helping to keep this place stable.
A certain, yeah. And maybe some of the ETs are doing that as well.
Because I always thought it was so strange, considering the vastness of the cosmos and galaxy, that humans live within these 80 degrees of weather, you know, from zero to 100 degrees. Considering the how cold and how hot it can get, there's something maintaining our environment, something of consciousness. So we're getting some help from somewhere.
So we're all unique, totally. Each and every person is unique in every way. And what I suggest is take a look at spending some time, whenever you can, just being. So it might be in your apartment, but in my opinion, in my experience anyway, being in nature, something flows through us. And there are oceanside people, and there are mountain people, and there are forest people, and jungle people. If you're drawn in some way, just go and experiment with being there. If you keep thinking, oh, you know, I've always wanted to go there. Try it out. See if it connects for you. Because when you find your spot, and I think there are spots, people talk about Colorado.
Sedona.
They say energy vortexes, and the Aboriginal people, they've been here and saying, this is a special place to us. That's a healing place down there. The women used to give birth down there, and they go to different places, and they are really in touch. The elders, the wise people, they're really in touch. And beautiful people, beautiful. They're in touch.
Thanks, Paul, for spending a little time. And
thanks for watching.
Anytime you want to share anything that comes to you, because I'm happy that you're sharing whatever you're sharing, because people need to hear it. I need to hear it.
Well, we got it recorded. We got a website with thousands of...
Oh, yeah. paullowe.org. paullowe.org. Thousands of nice.
Thousands. There's lots of videos, audios, transcripts, writing stuff. Yeah, lots of stuff.
And do you feel something is changing? That you're getting.
You see, just this shaking now, the body's shaking. Just that energy that's been coming through.
It's an uplifting energy. The shaking is a what?
Physically, it feels drained.
Oh.
But inside, yeah, uplifted, yeah.
Okay, then we'll just stay with that then.
Bye for now.
Thanks for watching. Alan Steinfeld with Paul Lowe for New Realities here in Australia, in a beautiful place outside of Brisbane. Thanks for watching.